You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com and the web. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. We're on Instagram at Locked On Bulls. Drop us a text, voicemail at 331-979-1369. We did our mailbag earlier in the week last week, and we did all of our voicemails on Friday's episode. Had to cut that a little bit short because of the Wendell Carter Jr. injury news. So we're going to get to a little bit more of those on today's episode. But Matt, welcome back from the weekend. I know it wasn't that happy of a weekend because the Bulls did not snap this losing streak. Just couldn't find a way to get a win over the Miami Heat on Saturday. But regardless of that, recording early because of the Bulls tip-off. The MLK Day schedule for the NBA is dominating MLK Day. Bulls tip off at noon in Cleveland. So whether you're listening to this early morning on Monday, you're listening to this before tip off, you're listening while you're watching the Bulls game, or you're listening to it shortly afterwards, we're recording before the Bulls game then. So this content might be a little bit old, but nonetheless, a little bit of a fresh episode. Matt, how you doing? Were you a little bit shocked or not shocked at all that the Bulls did not snap that losing streak on Saturday?
Not shocked at all. What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? We have come to expect nothing but losing from this team. So, no, I was not shocked that they couldn't get a win. It is just gross that we had to watch Dwayne Wade do his jersey swap with Benny the Bull. How much of a joke was that? It is gross that we had to watch a Dwayne Wade tribute video during one of the timeouts of that game on Saturday. Because guess what? They played a Dwayne Wade tribute video that had maybe two or three very short clips of Dwayne Wade playing basketball on a NBA court in a Bulls jersey. And most of it was just random clips and footage of Dwayne Wade doing community service and good deeds in Chicago and like other random just Dwayne Wade posing on media day footage, which is a joke to me. It is an absolute joke that they gave that guy a tribute video. I get that he's on his retirement farewell tour season, whatever, whatever. You want to give Dwayne Wade a tribute video because he is a Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer who is a few games away from retirement, and this is the last time he plays in the United Center and he's a Chicago guy? Fine. Then give him a tribute video that is Dwayne Wade, Miami Heat superstar. For the Bulls to give him a tribute video that featured a couple of plays of Wade in a Bulls jersey and Wade doing community service and Wade at media day was a joke that I found disgusting.
I can't tell you how disgusted I am.
I'm disgusted with him right now.
I'm disgusted with it, to be quite honest with you.
Just want to get your reaction to this game.
Complete disgust.
Because it just reminded all of us how much of a waste that Dwayne Wade signing was. And how much of a fool he played the Bulls front office for. I hated it. I hated it. We can talk about the Bulls Heat game if you want to, but I swear to God, that made me more mad than most anything this season. What a joke.
I didn't know we were going to do this at the top of the show, but look, I was watching Bulls Outsiders the other night on Saturday. Shout out to Big Dave, too, because I agreed with him more so than I agreed with you. I didn't know we were going to do this, but we can do this right now if we want to.
Let's do
it. Look, you can be mad, and I totally 100% agree with you, that you can be mad about him knocking the team out of the playoffs back in the early 2010s and be mad about that. I get that, but you can't be mad about them playing the community service side of all of that. That's the good side of Dwayne Wade that we should be happy for. Like, I get you're mad that they're playing it as far as a tribute and like saying like, oh, show.
Right, because if Dwayne Wade weren't here, then the Bulls as an entire organization and entity wouldn't be doing community service. Give me a break. Bulls charities would exist regardless of whether or not Dwayne Wade is in
you
a Bulls jersey.
You should be mad at him for
and the only reason they brought
that,
him
though.
Here was to sell jerseys and to put butts in seats at the United Center.
You also shouldn't be mad for Dwayne Wade taking the money, though. It's like, you should be mad at the front office for giving him that. Like, if you were given $48-plus million to come here and play, like, of course you would take it. Like that's like the John Paxson Look, and Gar Foreman backed up the Brinks truck over the hill, Dwayne Wade. And of course he was going to say yes. He was mad at Pat Riley and the Bulls were suckers and they took the bait. And that's not Dwayne Wade's fault. And you know what? Partially it is on Dwayne Wade. He didn't live up to what he said he was going to do here and help the young guys. He actually fractured the locker room. So that's partially on Dwayne Wade. So yes, I agree with you. You can be partially angry for that, but for the money part of it, that's totally on the Bulls' fault for that. You can't tell me to be mad at that for Dwayne Wade taking the money. That's the Bulls' fault for that.
I got a lot of people giving me that exact same retort when we were talking about this on Outsiders on Saturday. And I will admit to you, of course, a significant portion of Bulls fans' level of frustration towards the Dwayne Wade experiment should be aimed at the front office because they're the ones who threw him that gigantic pile of cash that, in my opinion, he did not deserve. However, it can also be true that Dwayne Wade, selfishly wanting more money to stay in Miami, realized he had leverage on the table because he knew that he could sucker his hometown team into giving him that fat paycheck so that he could go to Pat Riley and Mickey Arison and say, hey, if you guys don't want to give me this last big Mongo paycheck that I think I deserve, then screw y'all. I'm going to go play for my hometown Bulls because they love me and they've wanted me since 2003. So Dwayne Wade, look, and I'm not saying that it's like he's the only NBA player ever to do something selfishly when it comes to taking money. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it is a reason that I have no respect for Dwayne Wade's tenure in Chicago. Did he honestly think he was going to come here and win at a high level? Actually make a playoff push, contend for an NBA? No. No, he did not. He came here to stick it to his Miami Heat team, who he thought he was wronged by. And, oh, live out my dream to wear a Bulls jersey because I'm a Chicago kid. Which, as a Bulls fan, I could not care two shits about.
Did they play a tribute video for when he played for Cleveland? That last season?
I can't recall.
I don't remember either. But regardless of that, like, this is his last season. I get for being angry about that, but are you really angry for them including the community outreach stuff? Like, that to me
No, to me, that's the joke, is that they insisted on doing a Dwayne Wade tribute video because, oh, Dwayne Wade's retiring. We all have to bow at his feet.
Look, that's an NBA-wide thing, though.
But, no, okay, fine. But the fact that they insisted on making it a Dwayne Wade as a member of the Chicago Bulls tribute video is a joke to me. Because guess what? They played a couple of very short highlights of Wade in a Bulls jersey and then like just like stock footage from Wade at Media Day. And then most of the video was just Wade being a good citizen and a good Samaritan for the people of Chicago, which is like, I mean, Jordan, read between the lines. the Bulls front office and the Bulls as an organization know that the Wade signing was a gigantic, embarrassing failure. So what do? They paint this broad brush of, oh, the Wade thing was still a great time. It was a great year. He came back home to Chicago and served the people of his city. And, oh, wasn't it such a wonderful time? We made such happy memories. It was their way of glossing over a gigantic, glaring mistake from the front office.
I think you're reading too much into it, honestly.
No, I am not.
I am
absolutely not reading too much into it.
One tribute video that I think you're reading way too much into it because...
No.
Realistically, I would be willing to bet that there's every single other NBA team has ran a tribute video for Dwayne Wade.
That's not the point. That is not at all the point. It's about what's going on with our organization here in Chicago.
Look, I get the anger about the Benny the Bull thing. Like, that was another shot thrown at the Bulls specifically. And I don't know, like, Dwayne Wade, of course, will just say, oh, you know, Benny's a legend, like, that's funny, like, he'll never admit that he didn't do it as a shot or just to be petty or whatever. But let's also not forget the fact that the guys that still remain on this roster that were a part of that team before don't mess with Dwayne Wade. Like you tweeted out too, hashtag
what do you mean, yeah, don't mess hashtag, with Dwayne Wade? They hated him. He called them out for not trying hard enough, not being good enough. He removed himself as a part of the team in the locker room. He rarely showed up to practices.
Right, so I agree with that.
Both teammates hated him. So, I mean, as funny as it was to me, it was not at all surprising that Wade took the easy, cowardly way out. It was like, oh, I'm going to swap jerseys with Benny because Benny's a legend. No, the only holdovers from the three alphas here currently on this Bulls roster want nothing to do with Wade.
I do agree with that.
For good reason.
I agree with that. You did tweet that out, too, and you said hashtag never forget the Rondo Instagram post. And that holds some validity, too. So I do agree with that. That was a petty move on Dwayne Wade's part, and... Look, it did spark, and once again, another viral moment for the Bulls in which it's embarrassing. So I can understand why you're mad, but I just think it's reading too much into a situation that's already passed again, and it's brought up. But look, whatever, for Dwayne Wade, like, I know he's going to keep continuing to say all these things and how great the organization is, and like, Bulls fans deserve a championship and one day to get back out on top of that. That would have been nice to hear from Dwayne Wade 2 years ago when he was here. But look, he was still salty about the way things went down in Miami, and he was still pissed off at Pat Riley, and he was getting in Jimmy's head. And
that's the only reason he came here. That is the only reason he came here.
And
Bulls fans who believe anything different are kidding themselves.
So there was a whole mess of things that went on here, too, that frankly, a lot of us don't even know either, too. So, and I think too, partially it is the way that Jimmy was treated and then the way that all of that went down, too. There's so many different angles that we don't even know of, too. So I can see why you're partially frustrated by it, but... I think the whole thing is overblown, and to be mad about some stupid tribute video that was played for 90 seconds throughout a United Center that was maybe 40% full last night is a little ridiculous. It's just a little bit ridiculous.
It was just like a perfect encapsulation of how much of a joke this organization is right now. We're going to give Wade a tribute video, and this guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer who won 3 titles with the Heat and did all of these amazing things. You know, led the league in scoring, did all these amazing things with the Miami Heat. And they could have just given him a tribute video with that. Chicago native, NBA legend, Dwayne Wade. Tribute video, fine. I would not be upset by that. Because they made it all about his one pointless year in Chicago really pisses me off. Because it is, as I said, the Bulls organization trying to validate after the fact a glaring mistake in what they have done in the last few years.
Now, see that right there, I agree with. That 100% I agree with, Matt. There is where I will stop it, because that is where I agree with. And I think a lot of Bulls fans can agree with that, too. So we'll stop that Dwayne Wade conversation there.
Please let's, because it pisses me off.
let's talk about the game, though. Let's, because the first half was going pretty good. I mean, to say pretty good, let's be honest with ourselves. The Miami Heat were shooting awful, awful. I tweeted it out.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
801, I think it was. holy crap, the Miami Heat stink. And then I followed it up with a tweet that said, I'm going to regret this in about 45 minutes. And sure enough, 42 minutes later, the Miami Heat are on top of the Bulls by 12. And the Heat came out in the second half and we're lighting it up in the second half, making second half adjustments that the Bulls weren't. And the Bulls, over this 10-game losing streak, have been one of the worst teams in defensive rating in the third quarter. So that's where the shift came. But for once, the Bulls came out in this first half again and actually looked like a team that wanted to play with a little bit of pace on offense and were actually knocking down some shots. So before we absolutely torch this team for their second half performance, what did you like in the first half?
Well, what I liked in the first half was, once again, Lauri Markkanen being aggressive. And it's really unfortunate that after an aggressive start, Markkanen kind of just vanished as this game went on. But, I mean, if there's anything from the start of this game, when the Bulls were in it, you know, they trailed by just 1 point after the first quarter. They came back and won the second quarter by three to take a two-point lead into halftime. As you said, like, Miami very much played poorly through the first half of this game, which is why I thought we actually had a chance to pull this one out on Saturday night. But you and I have talked about the sophomore slump season that Markkanen's having, and, you know, how much of it is Boylan's system and how much of it is Markkanen needing to be more aggressive. The Bulls, as we worked our way into the third and fourth quarter, had some really just hard-to-watch offensive possessions where they were trying too hard to post up. They were wasting tons of time. There were, you know, shot clock violations all over the place, which, you know, against this Miami team, really. But at least in that first quarter and into the second quarter, which, again, there was another issue I had, was Boylan leaving Markkanen out for large stretches, which didn't make sense to me. We saw the aggressive version of Markkanen for at least certain stretches in the first half of that game.
I was a fan of it too, and that's something he needs to build on. If we're talking just individual games now, which I hate to do it, but that's the way that this evaluation is going during these losses. It's like you can't even talk about how these guys are playing together because it gets to a point where the Bulls go down 8, they go down 12, they go down 15, and then all of a sudden you start evaluating individually. Because you look at Zach LaVine last night, when he's not getting involved in the offense or things start to be frustrating, turnovers start to stack up and the Bulls go down a dozen points, he starts going isolation, and then that pretty much wraps it up. I liked Lauri Markkanen's aggressiveness last night. If you look at the box score, it may not say the same thing, but you're right. I thought he played really well too. You stack that game on top of the one he had previously, that's what you need to see in these stretches. And Bobby Portis turning it around from what was an awful, awful back-to-back games. The one he had against the Lakers and that 1-for-11 performance was terrible. He came off the bench and was 8-for-12. The other person I got to highlight too, how about Jabari Parker? Can I say something really quick on him?
Yeah, go for it.
How about him? He is doing this thing where he's being as quiet as possible, and I bet you this is what he's thinking to himself. Let me be as quiet as possible so I can get the hell out of Chicago before I get roped into staying here for the rest of the year. The man is since he's been released off the bench, he's quietly putting together a decent stretch here. And I bet you he's just like, man, I'm praying I can either get bought out or traded to another team so I don't have to endure another 30-odd games with this team of whether I am going to go game to game of whether or not I'm going to play, whether I'm going to be subjected to Jim Boylan demanding I play better defense, whether I'm going to be at the end of the bench. I don't know what's going on, but he's quietly put together, stacking games together in the 17 to 19 minutes he's been allowed to play. So those guys, outside of those guys, but the second half adjustments are just not there, and the Bulls are just imploding.
Yeah, you know, as a staunch anti-Jabari guy from the get-go, you know how I feel.
You've been pretty good about it, though, lately.
I mean, I got to give him credit. Guy's been playing well as from when Boylan put him back into the rotation over this last stretch of games. And if he actually is increasing his trade value to a non-zero number and the Bulls can get an asset for him, I'm all for that. The tricky part, again, is not Jabari Parker the player, but Jabari Parker the contract. And the fact that the Bulls have to come within $5 million of that $20 million that Jabari has next to his name right now. And the fact that that might be pretty tricky when teams around the league are looking at Jabari as an asset, but then the contract attached to it. So, I mean, my secret silent, oh dear God, please no fear, is that the Bulls see this stretch of Jabari playing off the bench and decide to actually pick up that option. Because, like, I didn't think there was any chance in hell that that would happen a month ago, even, or 2 weeks ago, even, before he got back into the rotation. But John was saying it on Outsiders, you know, a few nights ago, and I was like, oh, God, like, they might actually do that. Like, they might actually look at this version of Jabari and say, that guy's worth keeping around. Because I think we know, and they know, they're not getting any real big-name free agents to come here this summer. Not with a 10-36 team right now that's going to be lucky to put together somewhere between 5 and 10 more wins this season. So they might say, well, we got all this money. Jabari looked okay down the stretch of the back half of the season. Might as well keep him and pay him $20 more million. That fear is creeping ever more into my mind, and I hate it. But in the meantime, credit where it's due. Jabari has been playing well, and my hope is that the Bulls are somehow able to turn that into an asset. My hope is that the Bulls give up on this silly notion that they don't want to take on what they call quote-unquote bad money in a trade sending Jabari away in order to get an asset. Because guess what? The Atlanta Hawks, another tanking team, are doing precisely that and have been this season, last season. They know what they're doing, and they know their team is bad. And in the meantime, if a team is willing to give you a first-round draft pick, if you will take on a contract they don't want, if you ain't winning anything in the meantime, why not do it? And I don't think the Bulls will, based on everything we've heard about the front office and how they stand with Jabari and their unwillingness to take on such a contract. But in my opinion, that is what they should do. Hopefully Jabari's trade value continues to rise if Boylan continues to play him. And even if a team says, we'll give you a first rounder for Jabari, but you got to take this contract, the Bulls should absolutely say yes. They should absolutely say yes. Why not?
Like, even if Jabari stays around, there is no way they pick up that option for $20 million. Like, they can bring it back next year if that's their prerogative. But they can also decline that option, right, and renegotiate a contract for something significantly less.
They could, yeah.
So, I mean, there's discussion, and I'm not co-signing this discussion, but there's discussion out there that maybe they let Bobby go test the market this summer, see what's out there. He's a restricted free agent, by the way. Go test the market. If the market's hot for Bobby and he can get something upwards of 10, 12 plus million a year over 4 years, they say bye to Bobby and restructure a deal for Jabari. I don't know. That's just an idea, but maybe that happens. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they've decided with Jabari, and that's further down the road. But yeah, I mean, he's put together a quiet night. Isn't it weird, though, like, Fred has an offensive system that was supposed to fit what Jabari does. Jabari plays terrible in Fred's system. Jim Boylan comes in with a defensive-minded system. Jabari plays well in that system. I don't get it. It's like, it's weird. I don't know. I don't get it. One last thing I've got from this, and then we'll move on to some comments from Zach LaVine. We'll talk about Chris Dunn, unfortunately, and then we'll get to some voicemails. Matt, I can't clock violations anymore, man. I just really can't. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. There's a shot clock violation almost every single game, and there's multiple of them. So I've come up with a new idea for the leadership committee. So at their next meeting, whenever that is, they should continue. They should put this in order.
The leadership committee is not a real thing. It was lip service that the organization fed to the media and the fan base. Anyway, continue.
The pretend leadership committee should put a rule in order that every shot clock violation, there should be a $500 fine for every guy on the floor. And the money should go to either CPS schools or a charity that the Bulls work with for the remainder of the games this season. So
I thought you were going to say that everyone on the floor for a shot clock violation had to do push-ups.
No. Well, there you go, too. But, you know, money's more important than doing the push-ups. So, I mean, you could throw the push-ups in there, too. So, but, like, something. The shot clock violations have to stop. They have to stop. And the guy, like, It's partly on Boylan, but it's also like, get the shot up, man.
It is mostly on Boylan.
I mean, but the players are out there too.
We've had some examples of possessions where the Bulls are looking like a low IQ basketball team that are trying to make one too many passes or trying too hard to get the ball in the post, and then somebody is forced to take a bad shot. But again, all of that is predicated on what Boylan is telling them to do on the offense.
That's true. It's just like, dude, at some point, just get the ball up. Like, I don't know. I'm done with it, though. I can't deal with the shot clock violations.
You know how to fix the shot clock problem? Play Blakeney, 48 minutes.
That's true. That's one dude that will make sure the ball is up in 10 seconds or less. I can guarantee you that. The last thing from this game, and just from the 10-game losing streak in general, that I have for you. The Bulls' third quarter, I had mentioned it before, but through nine games, this doesn't include the Miami Heat game, but opponents are in their third quarter. I had mentioned the adjustments that the Bulls are not making during that time. Opponents are shooting 53.5% against the Bulls in the third quarter, and that's the worst field goal percentage the Bulls are giving up in the entire league during that stretch. The Bulls' offensive rating during that time is a 104.7. Their defensive rating is a 134.4 for a net rating of minus 29.8. And the funny thing is that's not even the worst net rating during that time and not the worst defensive rating during that time. The relief is the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have a worse defensive rating in the third quarter during that time and a worse net rating during that stretch of time. And we get those guys today if you're listening to this episode on Monday. So breathe a little sigh of relief. And if you're listening to this while this game is going on and the Bulls are losing, then don't, because all hell will break loose. So
well, yeah, and guess what? This Cavs defense this year statistically is historically bad. So I don't know how much of a comfort you can take knowing that the Bulls are not as worse or as bad as Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because Cleveland is historically bad.
So there's that. There's your little recap of the Miami Heat versus the Bulls. The Bulls are on a 10-game losing streak and have yet to pick up a win in 2019. Matt, will the Bulls ever win in 2019?
I'll say yes. I'm gonna take the likelihood of the Bulls winning once more over losing out. That would be truly impressive if the Bulls managed to not win another game this season in a very sick, twisted kind of way.
I think they're going to win against this Cavs team.
I mean, I hope they lose to the Cavs today. I really do. We all know what's at stake. Zion is at stake. The Bulls need to secure one of those top three spots, and I hope that they lose.
All right, let's get on to some more pressing news. So after this game, talk to me about the Zach LaVine quotes. You know, we took a voicemail on Friday for those who didn't catch the episode or, you know, just picked up on the episode this weekend. It's fresh in your mind. One of our callers, and this is always interesting, our Bulls callers are always great because they're tapped in asking the same questions we are. And funny enough, somebody called in and asked if, you know, if Jim Boylan and Zach LaVine can coexist, if Jim Boylan is going to be the coach beyond just this year. And we even extended it out further than that. And Matt, you suggested too that Zach LaVine is probably going to be the guy to get Jim Boylan fired. If there is anybody that you can point to the most, Zach LaVine is probably going to be that guy to push him out. How about that quote from him after the game on Saturday night?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Let me read that for our listeners who probably, 95% of you probably read this quote, but for the ones that didn't, let me read it for you really fast. This comes from Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune. Something is obviously wrong. We weren't losing by double digits earlier in this season. We might have been losing, but we didn't even have a full roster. I don't know. We're a better team now, and we're getting blown out. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Matt, give me your honest reaction, your humble opinion on what Zach LaVine had to say here.
I loved it. It's crazy because, honestly, not even 5 minutes before that quote was tweeted out by Casey Johnson, I was sitting in the green room at NBC talking with my boys John and Big Dave after the game concluded, saying that very thing. We were all talking about how the Bulls, shorthanded as they were back in October and November, were losing games, yes, but they were losing close games. They were in lots of games in the fourth quarter, and they were losing, but they were in games in the fourth quarter. They were not getting blown out by 20 and 30 every night. And now, as Zach LaVine said, and we were saying the exact same thing, Boylan has a healthier, more talented roster than what Fred was working with for most of Fred's season before he got canned, and they're doing worse. So what LaVine said is exactly how I feel, and I think it's probably exactly how most Bulls fans feel at this point, which is, okay, I don't know what's going on. We're a healthier, more talented team than we were before, and we're doing worse. What's the deal? Clearly, what is the variable that has changed? The variable is Fred Hoiberg's gone. Jim Boylan is the head coach. And LaVine has always been, this season, more willing to express his frustrations to the media, more so than any of his teammates, and respect to him for that. And this most recent comment, after their loss on Saturday, it is nothing other than a giant pointed finger at Jim Boylan. Absolutely, 100% LaVine saying, hey, we got a healthier, more talented roster, and we're getting blown out. What's the deal? And the deal is, the new coach, something's not jiving. Something's not working well. We're not living in Jim Boylan's world. This is not okay, and it needs to change. So credit to LaVine for speaking his mind.
You know, I find it funny when it's, you know, when it's Bulls fans, when it's the media, when it's other players, when it's other coaches saying these types of things, it's, oh, well, they're not in our building. They're not with us. They don't know what's going on in our building every single day. So they have no idea what we're doing, and they don't know what the day-to-day operations are. But when one of your players starts speaking on this, then what? What's the answer? Zach LaVine has been very clear now. Very, very clear. And if it's not clear now, what is it going to take? Is it going to take 2 or 3 more losses? Is it going to take 5 more losses in a row to basically have him come out and say, hey, guess what? I'm going to demand a trade immediately because I want out of this mess. This is disgusting. And this is all of the coach's fault, and this is a disaster, and I want no part of it. This is not what I signed up for in the summer, and this is not what you guys pitched me in the summer. And look, Zach LaVine and all of those guys in that locker room need to point the finger in the mirror and need to check themselves as well. They all haven't played well either. It's plain and simple. It's partly on them too, but at the same time, he's right. Like, something's changed. Something is different. And it might not just be about the X's and O's, right? We can't just continue to be tunneled vision about this. It might not be about X's and O's. It could be about the everyday thing. It could be about the culture of the entire existence of this team, day in and day out, how they communicate with each other, how they're practicing, how they're coexisting as an entire team. It could have changed. Hey, this isn't working, and what you pitched to us at the beginning of the season about health and development and culture, none of that was true. None of it. None of it. What's the answer?
Well, the answer is they need to get the hell rid of Boylan. I mean, we talk about how the Fred versus Jimmy thing, Fred won, at least in the sense that the Bulls saw plenty of problems with Jimmy, and it wasn't necessarily specifically choosing Fred over Jimmy, but choosing to trade Jimmy and keeping Fred, at least for the time being. And now maybe being faced with a similar situation where clearly LaVine and Boylan are not BFFs. And clearly we have seen LaVine not outwardly so many times, but at least a couple of times, and certainly, you know, subtextually wave off Jim Boylan. And if the Bulls front office and Bulls ownership truly does believe in LaVine as a core building piece of this team and wants him to stick around and doesn't want him to, oh, I don't know, demand a trade and say to them, hey, in the offseason, it's me or Boylan. If you're keeping Boylan, then trade me. If they value the player over the coach, who clearly is doing a worse job than Fred, then they will hopefully honor LaVine's wishes and get him a better coach. Get this team a better coach.
I just got to ask one thing, though, is like, what does Zach LaVine want? Because this is becoming now an issue with two different coaches. Zach LaVine can't have everything and at the same time not have the superstar level of talent. He wanted to call all the shots, and you know, we saw him call off Hoiberg against the Spurs and little things like that. And basically, like, maybe he liked that about Hoiberg. He's like, basically Hoiberg let him do whatever he wanted on the floor and trusted him in that sense. And that was part of Hoiberg's downfall, is trusted him to a fault. And you were right. Some of the examples about how Zach LaVine has contradicted everything that Boylan has said, there's multiple examples of it. Boylan said three-point shooting is not our game. Zach LaVine came out and said, I haven't been shooting enough threes. I want to shoot more threes, and I'm going to continue to start doing that. Boylan came out and said, you know, Justin Holiday, we lost one of our best defenders. Zach LaVine came out and said, you know, Justin Holiday's a really good player, but he's not a LeBron James type of player. When you remove him from the floor, it's not that type of difference maker. It's all these little things, you know, that happen that you can just see reading through the tea leaves. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, fine. Check yourself a little bit, but who would you rather have next season?
Oh,
Zach LaVine, the player, or Jim Boylan, the coach?
Zach,
it's that simple.
Zach 100 times over.
It's that simple. Like, I'm not worried about LaVine's ego growing too big for his britches for a guy who hasn't made an all-star team yet. And for all of his offensive talents, clearly he's a player who has his flaws. We all know that. We all accept that. I think for the most part, maybe you don't accept that. There are some Bulls fans saying we should trade LaVine this season, whatever, whatever. But I'm saying, if they are in a situation of Boylan or LaVine, one has to go. If you are a Bulls fan, who would you rather have be a part of this organization next season? Jim Boylan or Zach LaVine? It's an easy answer.
Yes, that is 110%. But yeah, I think it speaks to the level. And also, too, here's another factor of this, too, Matt. Is he speaking 100% about Boylan? Do we know that for a fact? How do we know that he's speaking 100% about Boylan?
I mean, yes. In my opinion, yes. His comments were directed at Boylan.
Okay. You know, I think about how him and Dunn and Markkanen and Carter are still trying to figure things out. Now with Carter out, him, Markkanen, and LaVine, all three of those guys, they need this time. They need these next 36 games to figure something out. But that's going to be hard to do. And how do you evaluate that now with Boylan as coach? Like, if he's not going to be the guy next year, how do you evaluate their talent level and what you can do and what they're projected to be in the next 36 games this is really super important?
That's the real tragedy of this season, Jordan. That's the real tragedy. Because especially with Markkanen's injury to start the season and then Dunn being out and Bobby being out, we all said, well, crap. All right, this season is a wash. The best thing we can do now, the value we can get out of this season, is evaluating this young core that we have developed and assembled and see how they fit together and hopefully see some positive growth from them and some development from them as individuals and some development from them on a chemistry level. Because as far as the three core pieces from the Jimmy trade, we only saw them play 12 games together last season, and the small sample size was not good. So we all knew that and thought about that being very important coming into this season. Now that they have booted Fred and put Boylan in his place, the real tragedy is that any kind of development of this young core and the chemistry of this young core, not there, not happening. Because what they're doing right now is playing a losing brand of basketball. And you can talk about this roster being short on talent, and absolutely that is true to a degree. But the Jim Boylan brand of basketball is crushing any hope we had of building some kind of positive from a lost season when it comes to player development, because these players are not developing under Jim Boylan. That is the real tragedy.
It's true. It is very, very true. Speaking of player development, let's talk about the point guard. Let's talk about Chris Dunn real fast. I told you on Twitter last night.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
that's talking about Chris Dunn was canceled until further notice, but we should mention this. Should mention this really quick. Chris Dunn, yeah, he has been bad. He has been very, very bad. Very bad, and he knows it. He has said it. He has been free to speak about it too, been very open and honest about it. Look, your expectations about Chris Dunn, I don't know what to tell you. If you were expecting Chris Dunn to be some all-star superstar point guard, like you're sadly disappointed, and I don't know what to tell you, because that shouldn't have been your expectation of Chris Dunn. It just shouldn't have been. We knew he couldn't shoot threes. That was a plain fact. We knew he got his buckets in mid-range. We knew that. You knew that last year. It's a plain fact. Go look at his stats. Go watch the tape on Chris Dunn. You knew that. Part of his game and part of developing this year was improving his scoring at the rim. And when he returned, in those first 2 weeks, he was doing that. Now, not really. And part of the bad part of his game is not getting to the line and not finishing through contact. He hasn't done that this year, and it's been bad. Like, yeah. A point guard that's only getting to the line less than two times a game is awful. Is awful. And the turnovers still are head-scratching, Matt.
Yeah, they're really bad. Look, I mean, I don't think anyone outside of maybe our pal C-Red Fred thought that Chris Dunn had all-star potential. Or, you know, maybe some people on that insane level of C-Red Fred optimism. Myself, and I feel like I expressed this during the offseason coming into the season, was I don't see Chris Dunn as an all-star in this league ever. My hope, my optimistic hope, was that Chris Dunn, when healthy, if he put together a healthy season, could prove to be a starting point guard caliber kind of player. Not a starting point guard that's going to win you 60 games as your team's best player, but a capable starting point guard who could, first and foremost, facilitate and create looks for the more talented offensive people on his team, and especially in his starting five, a.k.a. Markkanen, LaVine, and hit his stuff when he sees the opportunities. And as you said, hopefully this season, improve his finishing at the rim. Improving his three-point shot, a wing and a prayer on that one. Now, as much as I was hoping and holding out hope and defending Chris Dunn for a long time in the offseason coming into this season, it is getting harder and harder to defend Chris Dunn as even being a starting caliber point guard in this league. And that is really sad. Partly because, you know, I don't ever like to admit when I'm wrong. But right now, it feels like I'm wrong about thinking Chris Dunn can be a starting point guard in this league. And it makes me sad being wrong. And it makes me sad because I really wanted him to be a piece that fit into this core. But Dunn's about to turn 25 in like a month. And the window of opportunity to improve when you hit 25, if you're being asked to be a role player and a bench player on a team, yeah, you can get better in your late 20s and even into your 30s. But when you're asked to be the starting point guard of a team, it's really hard to still be on the Chris Dunn train right now.
Look, I think the brand of basketball he's playing right now, and he is the first person to admit it, is the mid-range shots. When they're not going down, it all escalates. He can't get buckets from anywhere else.
He airballed a shot from like 12 feet on Saturday.
Yeah, and it's bad.
I don't even know how that's possible.
It just looks all, it all looks bad. Part of what we were hoping he could do with this team and be successful starting point guard was facilitate, and that's kind of gone away. The shots have increased, the field goals per game have increased, and we were all right with that as long as the buckets were going down, but those aren't going down the way we were hoping they would. And when those aren't going down, they're taking shots away from guys like Markkanen and LaVine and even Carter. Like, you're taking shots away from guys that you know that you want to be shooting. And when that happens, it stutters the offense, and you can't have that happen. And even when you're going to the rim and you're not drawing fouls, that even kills you even more. And a point guard who can't shoot threes, can't draw fouls at the rim, and you're missing all of your mid-range shots, that's essentially, you're useless. You're useless on the offensive side of the ball. And look, I think that that the overreaction about Chris Dunn on Twitter is ridiculous. It is. It's ridiculous at this point. And look, maybe you can call me an idiot at the end of the season, and I will be open and welcome to all of those tweets and voicemails and texts if Chris Dunn continues to play this way. You can be the first person to tweet at me if you want, and he continues to play like this and he looks terrible. But I think this is a complete overreaction about the way Chris Dunn has played. This is the worst brand of basketball Chris Dunn has probably played in the last 5 years.
So you're saying you're still holding out hope.
I am. I'm not completely out on him yet. And I still think there's a conversation to be had about long-term projection. And I still think the best fit for him is a rotational guard that can play 25 to 28 minutes, not start, but close out games. Like, look it back at last year. He was good in closing time. He could play defense and hit big shots.
Yeah, that's right? I mean, that's fair, and that's
go
true.
Go look at clutch time.
No, I see your point about clutch time, and you're right. Last season, in the clutch moments, Chris Dunn's stats were good. Cool. Small sample size, fine, whatever. I think the general feeling of the Bulls fan base, and I'm just making an educated guess here, but this is kind of how I felt, so I feel like it's how most Bulls fans feel. If all Chris Dunn turns out to be is a rotational guard, or, you know, a lot of people saying, like, oh, he could be a capable backup guard on a good team, a contending team. Being such an important piece of the Jimmy Butler trade and a former number 5 overall pick who the Bulls nearly traded Jimmy Butler on draft night in 2016 to go get,
I mean,
is a disappointing outcome. Because a lot of people were expecting Chris Dunn as a part of that Jimmy trade to be starting point guard.
But you got Markkanen and you got LaVine, and I think those two pieces were 1 and 2.
That's
in that
true.
Trade.
I'm just saying, even still, as a package, it still looks pretty good, but the expectation was we traded away Jimmy, and part of the package was Chris Dunn, starting point guard of the future.
That's
and
true.
He doesn't look
I
like
still
that
say,
right now.
I still say give it some time. Just give it some time. And look, they fired Chris Dunn's swag doctor too, by the way. You know, he always talks about how Fred Hoiberg was the one to get him his swag back. And that's just a joke. Chill out if you're sitting there getting all mad. Just relax, Bulls fans. I'm just making a joke. The last thing I got on him is just, look, I agree with a lot of the Bulls fans who are coming at me and saying, look, trade him, get rid of him, see what value you can get. Look, his value is at the lowest point I think it's ever been. So you still got a year to evaluate. Like, he's got an option for next year, and you don't have to get into contract talks until next season. So you still got some time. Still got some time to figure it out. But I do agree that maybe he isn't. So maybe you need to start looking. And you got cap space to do some things. So the panic button on Chris Dunn, I don't think needs to be hit just yet. But there are some serious questions to be asked about his game right now. Now, I do agree. Like, a point guard that's supposed to start, that can't shoot threes, that is the age that he is, 25 years old, like, you guys are right. But let's back it up. Let's have a little bit of patience. This is the worst stretch of basketball he's played, I think, in his career. So let's take a deep breath. Have a little bit of patience, and if you want to call me an idiot and a moron, I will welcome those in April. I will welcome those with open arms in April.
I'm trying to have patience with Dunn, man. I'm just saying it's getting harder.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. I'm the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern and 9 a.m. Central Time. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up. Text messages, voicemails, 331-979-1369 is the place to hit us up. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com